This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
If I had to punch a dog, I said before, but I'd say again, I would go for the throat.
You'd punch it right in the throat.
I'd be like, ugh!
Would you do the thing where you have your keys between your knuckles?
My God.
I think I would
go. Well, you have to kill it.
On the tongue. Why?
I think I would go for my main three knuckles.
Okay.
Wait. Is the dog attacking you or you just see it on the street?
The question was if I had to punch a dog.
So you assumed it was attacking.
So it's got
to
be attacking.
The dog is kind of like, yeah, trying to bite me, chew me off.
What if it's a punching dog contest?
Or it could be that somebody in your family has been kidnapped and the kidnapper asks you to punch a dog in order to get them back.
Hmm. I would not want to kill it in that case.
I would be like, what is this, Black Mirror? What is up with you? Didn't you want money? Didn't you want something else? What's your master plan here? Let's sit down and think about this.
No, just punch the dog. I just want the kid. You can have your kid dog if you punch that dog.
Okay, but there could be any other...
Punch the dog!
But what do you get...
Punch it!
What do you get out of this?
I'm watching.
Okay.
I want to see him punch a dog.
Yeah, I'm imagining you're watching, but I just don't understand.
Quit asking him questions. He's going to freak out.
He's going to kill... No, I'm going to punch your kid if you don't punch the dog.
Hey, cop, I got this. Listen.
What? Did you just tell a cop you got this?
Yes,
even I did. I'm crazy, and I think that's crazy.
I'm a Canadian cop, too, so I'm going to release a dog to kill the kidnapper of the other dog.
You're really going to have to punch a dog.
Welcome to Treks in the City.
Welcome to Treks in the City.
I'm Alice.
And I'm Veronica.
And this is Treks in the City.
And the cop you heard was by our guest of today. Woo-hoo!
The cop was by our guest.
The cop was by our guest.
Thank you.
Cop was by our guest. The cop was by our guest.
It's who? I am so excited to bring this guest on because this person is the reason that I am a Trekker. One of the reasons I'm a Trekker. And inspired my rewatching of Trek when I first moved to LA 6 years ago. And I also have a cold.
She coughed. He is my side.
I'm sorry. I will do this other way next time.
I'm not afraid.
He is my old friend, my old pal, who I've known for a very long time. He's a stand-up comedian and a writer. And his name is Danny Solomon.
Woohoo!
Yeah. People are into it.
Oh yeah, this one.
Danny Solomon. No, not that.
Danny Solomon is here. He's here.
Settle down, everyone.
Welcome.
Welcome to Treks in the City.
Danny Solomon.
Oh my God, he's here. We are hacking into the mainframe.
It also sounds like a 600-pound life like thing. Like,
yes, it absolutely does.
And we found
does.
Him in his home directly on the floor for a week. And we're entering his house. Hi.
I could really go into my 600-pound life and just preempt the entire Star Trek episode.
And that would be a successful episode of Trek.
No, come on.
No, come on now.
I don't watch that, and it makes me so sad.
You have to identify the enabler every time. There's always an enabler. Usually with the men, it's a mother. Mm-hmm. With the women, it's a husband who
They're
doesn't
like feeding
want
them.
To not be loved anymore. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
That's what my boyfriend does. He just keeps bringing me breads.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh. You just won that.
You've got a classic enabler right there.
You got a classic. I call him out, enabler. I keep getting breads from him. I keep being like, more breads!
You need to listen to Dr. Now and stay on the diet. High protein, low carb diet. You have to lose 40 pounds in order to get your skin surgery.
Would it be bitchy if I made a show called My 120-Pound Life?
That is really bitchy.
Yeah.
You're 120?
It's just like about my life.
It's just fuck you to the my 600-pound life people.
All like, my close get fit it together. So perfectly.
I
woke up
and I'm like, I feel fine.
I look good.
I look like what people think it looks good. I look good like what people think looks good.
This is around the weight I'm supposed to be at this age and height.
I go in for a weigh-in, like, standing on the scale. I've been eating right for weeks, exercising regularly.
For years, really.
For years.
One second. People don't narrate this themselves. I'll be the narrator.
Okay, all right. I'm so nervous about today.
Alice is an early 30s woman, and she is waiting to be weighed down by the doctor.
Weighed down?
What's going to happen?
He's going to throw me in a river?
He's going to put a 600-pound person on top of you.
Oh, God damn
and
it.
And then subtract 600 pounds to figure out your weight.
She's
going to
be weighed out.
Please, there's a scale right there that I can see.
All right. The doctor's... her down.
We're here to discuss an episode.
And then we're going to talk about her options.
Talk about my options.
After we get your pound number. Your weight. Some people
my
call.
Pound number. What's your pound number? Height and pound number, please. Driver's license. It says it right there.
My pound number is height. 60 times 2. It's like a math problem. I don't give straight answers like that. So we're going to talk here about season 2, episode 3 of Star Trek The Next Generation. Elementary, dear Data.
When the crew has a bit of leisure time, LaForge programs the holodeck to create a Sherlock Holmes mystery for Data to unravel.
Okay, so, but
Netflix
like...
synopsis.
I'm going to say it right off the bat for everyone out there. I love this episode.
You do?
Yep. Not sorry. A fan. I mean...
Yeah.
I am not...
I love Sherlock. I love the device of the holodeck and the consequences. And I actually love Pulaski in this because she has a point.
For once, Pulaski's her robot great. Racism serves a purpose.
She really is so much different than Crusher for supposedly just being like a quick replacement at the last minute.
That's what happens with quick replacements.
Yeah.
You hear that, man? Guys out there, quick replacements. That's what happens.
You could get Pulaski.
It can have the same green eyes and red hair. She can be the oldest woman in the main cast.
Exact same rank, same shirt. They wear the same shirt.
Literally, like, washed it and put it and slapped it on her. But and
the weird it's a relationship. Quick replacement. They have the weird relationship with Picard also.
They All right. do have a weird relationship. But see, that's what happens with quick replacements. So I
pulled a clip up here because I wanted to show...
But before we start talking about all of Star Trek in depth, I want to ask you your story. Your story with Star Trek and your history with Star Trek. What's your story and your history?
Well, my dad used to watch TNG and Babylon 5 and X-Files. So he was like a big sci-fi guy. He would have... It was really like we weren't very close.
Where's your dad from?
My dad is from Israel.
All right.
Yeah, he's an immigrant. So I'm a son of an immigrant.
And what are your mom?
My mom is from Colombia, South America.
Two immigrants.
However, she met
Israel
my father.
Israel and Colombia. Is that going to be my life? I wonder. I'm not from Colombia, but
I don't do any of the. I don't have any of the mix. I don't have get any of the like, you know. I guess benefit of being a. I don't know. That's a benefit? Terrible thing to say. Yeah.
Wait,
I was trying to figure
trying to
out how to not say
you don't
that.
Get any cool points?
I was like, nobody recognizes it. Nobody can tell that I'm half Colombian because I'm not really, because my mom's parents moved to Colombia. So what do you call
from
that?
From where?
From Romania for the Holocaust.
So you're like...
It's a big thing going on.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Big thing Holocaust.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many of your viewers believe in it, but I think most of it, most of them probably.
My entire life, I thought no one could not track. Believe in it. It's weird that now we have a choice. I guess there's an option.
It's a big
iTunes
thing,
keeps track of how many people subscribe and believe in the Holocaust. So we can actually look up that figure pretty
there's like easily. It's like a thing you choose to believe,
yeah,
right?
It's a
or
boxy
not.
Check.
It's not a, mm-hmm. it's not a fact anymore. It has left the ranks of fact. Mm-hmm.
We're debating it.
Like a debate.
We're talking it out.
Have you told Danny that you're converting?
No,
does it matter? Do I need to say it? Such a so.
It's funny.
I'm such a busybody bitch.
I'm really glad you're not a Jewish because you're not legally allowed as a Jewish person. You're not supposed to out anyone as a convert because you're supposed to just be part of them.
Oh, so I can do it.
Well, your moral dials are
all over the map.
She can be anyone on any day.
It's like a child came in and messed with your soundboard of moral dials. Yep. They're all...
Hey, I've heard it before and not the first time today.
yes, I am converting to Judaism on my own.
Nice.
I always have to specify this because it's like the main thing.
He didn't ask.
Well, but people are like, foreign man. And I'm like, no. Nope, just me.
Well, I ran a conversion course when I was living in New York. That was one of my temp jobs. I was the guy who proctored all of the conversion classes.
What were the classes? What was it split into?
It was like a picture book, like a picture textbook about Jewish stuff. It was like way more boring than school.
What's it called?
I forgot what it was called. It was the Union for Reformed Judaism was the place I worked at. I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble saying that, but I mean, I'm not saying anything negative about that. I don't know. Things just feel like I'll get in trouble if I say that.
Me too. Same thing.
That's how things feel consistently now
that we work in this city.
Yeah, it's, well, in general, like now it's a new politically correct era, but before that, as a person of color with an accent,
we used to get to say whatever we wanted.
Just scared of saying anything.
Yeah.
But no, I don't. I mean, I think it's a conversion program. There's many. I think every synagogue maybe has like some kind of like convert thing. Like,
ran one for a while.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess the kind of more popular thing that
I
thought.
Had a garage. I ran one out.
You were converting. What were you converting? To what?
To Judaism.
MP3s to like
Judaism. I was converting MP3s to Judaism. And
actually, okay. I way overstepped my bounds as a proctor of this exam thing because one of my jobs was to print out the certificate that says you're Jewish now. And I printed one out for me and Alice's friend Ross Heiser and just as a present for his birthday. And so he's... if he just flashed it to somebody, he would be Jewish.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
There's really nothing else that you need. If you have that certificate, you're in.
You're just Jewish.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Is that the certificate that goes into the registry? There's like the main, each branch of Judaism has a main registry and each is in a different college. I think they're like in different places in the United States.
I do believe that there are some sects of Orthodox Judaism that do not allow you to convert because they don't want you.
There's like Reconstructionist, Reform, and then Conservative. And so those are in three different universities and no idea where the Orthodox or Hasidic, any of that. I don't know where the registries are or like... It's just not even in the books.
By the way, you pass. You know way more than I do. And I'm a lifelong Jew.
Well, thank you. I passed. Yeah, my first rabbi passed me already. I'm just waiting for my second rabbi, too.
Ooh. Oh, right. Yeah, you have to have a bunch.
My 120-pound light.
Because I did a full... wait. Veronica's waiting. In the waiting room.
Wait, is this the converting room?
Yeah, it's a converting
room.
She's
converting from 118 pounds to 117 pounds.
You have to have lost 12 pounds in order to be Jewish.
My first class was like 18 four-hour classes. So what were your duties in this one of your jobs?
I would give the tests and I would provide everybody with all the materials. I wasn't like teaching the class. Yeah, I was like the TA. I did all the
Yeah, rabbi's supposed to do that, right?
Yeah.
And how was the interview for that job? Like, how did you find it?
It was a temp job. Everything was a temp job. My mom is Jewish. My dad is Jewish. My mom was Jewish in Colombia. So like I said, they moved from Romania. Escaped the Holocaust.
Your mom was already alive when they moved. So she was born in Romania.
No. She was born in Colombia. Sorry. Okay. So they moved for the Holocaust and they decided great time to fuck. And then they had my mom.
I mean, it's the Caribbean. That's what happens. Well, I don't know if they were by the Caribbean.
They're in South America.
The North concept. Their North coast of Colombia is the Caribbean.
Really?
Yeah. That makes sense. From Venezuela. So it's next door.
Ooh, they're rivals.
Well, we're more like... literally the same people. Literally, yes, of course. Actually the same.
But so are we and the people in the middle of this country, but we don't get along.
It's different, right? It's different. But Venezuela and Colombia, we're rivals. I feel like that's an 80s concept. And now the way I see it, I feel like we're too similar to be anything different. We're siblings. It's like we're like twin countries.
You also sound a little like my mom and you're Jewish. So it's freaking me out.
It's a little weird. And one of my friends, Natalie Sar Shalom, I met her in college. That's where I met my first Jewish friend ever. It was her and another girl, Patricia Mizrahi. I did not know anything about Judaism, but recently I had a conversation on the phone with Natalie because she's in the film industry and she's coming from Venezuela to here.
Well, and she's Jewish, so of course.
Yes, of course. weirdly, it also happens in Venezuela. So, and I was asking her, as I'm converting, in coming from a private Catholic school in Venezuela, I had such longing to have been, I don't know if you can say longing because it's something that just didn't happen, but mm-hmm. to have been part of the Jewish community in Venezuela, because that's something I just didn't get to experience or live. I had a different upbringing. So when I see Jewish Venezuelans, I'm like, what did it feel like? How was your school? Like, where are the synagogues in Caracas? Like, I don't even fucking know where the school is. And she was like,
shul.
The shul or the, the anything. And she was like, well, it was up until I was like 18. I was like, this is fucking limiting because it's so small.
Mm-hmm.
And Venezuelans are like the South. It's like conservative in a way that's like kind of silly. Very.
It is silly, isn't it?
It is just silly. And so it's like conservative and it's a very small community. So I feel like everyone's like watching me and everyone can tell. Like, I was wondering if you have asked your mom about growing up Jewish.
Oh, yeah.
In Colombia and yeah. what, I don't know.
She had like a I'm tight just community.
Eternally curious about that.
It was just like a lot of, she seemed to, everybody was Jewish around her in her neighborhood, and or like a lot of people were. And so I guess she just felt like that was normal. Kind of like how I was Jewish in Kansas, where I grew up.
Similar.
And, a Jew in Kansas, a novel.
And it was different because I went to a school where I was one of only three Jewish people, and only my cousins went to synagogue. I never used to go.
Why?
It wasn't fun, you know? It was like a lot of not fun stuff happening.
Were your parents going?
No. Were the black sheep. We were the black sheep.
Oh, because you didn't go to
Yeah, I guess like all. My dad was a pretty lazy guy. Like I said, he liked to watch a lot of TV, so he didn't really want to deal with
his sci-fi guy.
Yeah.
Which is how we started with all of this.
Yeah, and his sci-fi actually, I mean, beyond all the shows I was talking about, the mainstream stuff, it would go so far that I didn't even realize it at the time, but he had a bunch of L. Ron Hubbard books, including Dianetics.
How?
And he was like, I just like to read sci-fi stuff. And at the time, I was like, yeah, it looks like sci-fi.
Hilarious that he's like, this is sci-fi.
Yeah, it was all the same.
When I first heard the concepts, I once like had a quick kind of month of sex with this one guy who's... Then I finally went to his house and he had all those books.
Oh, Jesus. Mm-hmm.
And kind of. And he was like, yeah, Dianetics. And he started explaining to me like the stress levels and all the shit. And sure. I was like, it does like all the books are like purple and weird and kind of like sci-fi.
They look great. They look like sci-fi books.
Yeah. It looks like a alternate, hey, you like sci-fi? Here's an alt religion of an alien kind of, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It is weird.
That's so later stuff.
So is your dad, did he move to the States and then he met your mom, or did he meet in Colombia? Or like, I'm very curious about this connection.
Yeah.
You end up in Kansas and like, that's weird.
It is crazy. I mean, I just sound like any other white person and I look like that, but for somehow it all like mixed up in different ways.
Yeah, so you have so crazy amount of culture, different like parents and you're like so the other in so many ways.
I know.
But you're...
Nobody buys it.
You would portray.
We do.
Thank you. I need listeners why you're here. To understand. I'm very diverse.
So where did they meet?
So my mom, when she was 16, her parents wanted her to learn a little bit more about Jewish culture. So she went to a kibbutz in Israel.
Wow, so cool. I want
to
do that.
Yeah, it's nice. I've never been to one, but yeah. I'm happy to say it's nice. And
I'll say it too. Hey, it's nice.
It seems cool. It's
like
communal
it.
Farm environment. Mm-hmm. You get to do a bunch of...
I don't
of...
care for it.
I like the communal thing.
We know.
One person
has I like to that, be. That everyone has to do something. Yeah. I like that there's tasks. Yeah. I like that. I would like to experience that.
Sure.
Yeah,
it's like a commune.
So she went to a kibbutz. Mm-hmm. Kibbutz?
Yeah,
did I think she say like me with an accent?
Kibbutz.
Okay.
No, that's in no way how she said it. Okay. But her and my dad met there, and I guess they fell in love, sort of. They're divorced, so the concept of
same
them...
Same age, or was it a creepy sitch?
He was 58, 52, 6 years older. 6, 7 years older.
Oh, okay.
It was okay, yeah. That's good. Yeah, Alice has been there.
All right. We're all here. We're all here alive. 2018. Who knows?
Sure. I mean, I usually keep it in nice range.
What is the nice range? What's the nice range? I am way out of the nice range.
Yeah. Okay. You're in the 11s.
Well, that's okay, too.
Okay. So
everything's okay now.
Everything's great.
Mm-hmm.
Tarantino defended Roman.
Yeah. But 15 years ago before he learned that things were wrong.
Right. That's true. But it was a different time.
Yeah. It was 1997.
Right. When everything was pretty wrong all along. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I just, all of these, like all the Tarantinos, all the Woody Allens, I just cannot wait to stick it to Perlman.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Sean Perlman?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, all of Sean's filmmakers that he likes.
All of Sean's filmmakers.
If we get Paul Thomas Anderson on something.
You know, I am attracted to Sean Perlman.
Everybody is.
Okay, his face. He looks like a little elf that came out of somewhere to do mischievous deeds. So yeah, he does look like
ruin my life.
Just kidding.
That was your most amicable breakup.
I know.
And it was terrible. I watched the whole thing.
You dated with him?
I dated with him.
Oh, oh, so much.
Who did you
both date? We dated so much for 2 years.
You did? That's crazy.
It's weird. Yeah.
He's this cute little elf puck person. Are we talking about the same person?
We're talking about Data now.
Oh, okay. Switch topics mid-sentence. Middle of my sentence.
We'll deal with that now.
Whoa. Hard to keep track.
Sean, I think the reason why I really love my wife is because she's the only woman I've met who is not sexually attracted to Sean.
I'm not sexually attracted to him. I just said he looked like Puck.
I thought you started saying that he was so attractive.
Yeah, but you don't see how I see.
Can we run the tape
you
back?
You don't see how I see. My brain, someone can be really attractive and I may not want to ever have sex with them.
That I can grant you that.
That's a thing. That it happens to me consistently. Now that I know that you've dated him, I am extremely unattracted to that part of him sexually.
It's the sisterhood.
That's what's always ruined him for me.
My womb just went, oh no, 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 no. As a stand-up comedian, you know, I'm sorry, but it's true that I'm extremely unattracted to stand-ups.
Oh, it's a defense mechanism you absolutely need.
It's true, to survive in this.
There's like a metal thing that comes out and goes, dum, 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 and it closes all of me, and then spikes come out. It's kind of like is there a fantasy movie about an Egyptian something, and there's a casket, like something that closes and comes out, or is it Masters of the Universe?
Stargate sounds like that.
I don't know. It sounds like...
Yeah, it definitely feels like it's something inside of a...
Sarcophagus.
Or maybe...
It seems like Masters of the Universe, frankly.
Egyptian sci-fi is definitely Stargate.
Egyptian sci-fi.
But I'm not trying to...
Like more
sometimes
of that.
Brett looks like he's looking something up, but he's not.
I always
he just leans over.
Oh, there he goes. He's curiously Googling what we're saying, fact-checking.
Sudoku.
Nope.
He's doing work.
He's doing Sudoku, the Sudoku book.
It's a tiny watercolor over there.
It was the last Sudoku book ever sold, and the fad went away.
So,
your parents met in the kibbutz.
Wait, why are you fucking grilling him about his upbringing?
Because I am a Venezuelan Jew, and I'm wondering if an Israeli man is gonna be my destiny.
Do you want to see my papers?
Is that how you're gonna find out?
No,
his upbringing
through your specific one story that has nothing to do with the future.
A kibbutz would definitely help you in the nailing Jewish guys department.
I don't want to nail a Jewish guy. That's the problem.
Or marry, or whatever you call
none
it.
None of them. I think I'm gonna marry a goy, Gentile.
Mm-hmm. They're good too.
Yep.
A lot of them.
I think I'm not gonna marry. Honestly,
it's a good idea.
Is Natalie Jewish?
Natalie's Egyptian Coptic Catholic.
Oh God, no! So no.
Yeah.
So what did you marry in a chuppah, or did you betray all of your people?
I wore a yarmulke, so that's enough.
Did you crush a glass? Enough. I can't remember.
We did. We crushed.
I
a
was
glass.
At the wedding. To
a Catholic, you had a Catholic wedding?
No, we had we had sort of a we had an officiant, but he was sort of loosely aligned with Jesus. Which I didn't really care about. It was it was loosely aligned
with Jesus.
It was he didn't get too specific except for one point in the vows, and I kind of had like a moment of like, what are you talking about? And then he just moved past it. It was supposed to be sort of non-denominational because it was.
I appreciate that.
It was a Vegas wedding, so yes. He came with the package.
Yeah.
That's what we both wanted.
But did he mention Jesus?
Once, and I didn't like it. And it's not to say that I hate Jesus. It's just we agreed, no Jesus.
Jesus, he's got a great dong.
Yeah. And normally I would have laughed, but not in the middle of my wedding.
And that was like a fact that we were like, maybe later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe later. In the trivia part.
Doesn't really
He's a cool guy, and now we hang, but that moment I didn't like.
I'm like hashtag no Christmas tree. Like, I would not appreciate any kind of non-
It's not a hashtag.
Either neutral or it's a hashtag now. It's either neutral or Jewish. Like it couldn't be another religion.
I mean, that feels like even my mom when we were growing up wanted to do like Christmas stuff. It feels more like American.
Yeah,
that's an American thing. Christian. And it's a Venezuelan thing. Yeah. But I don't like it. I just don't I'm not into
What do you like Three Kings
I like
Day?
My Hanukkah. I like my the Wizard Kings. Yeah, this is candy that day. In Venezuela, it's just candy. It's a day of candy.
Candy day.
That sounds good.
I don't like anything Christmas related. Not anymore, but it's just like I didn't believe in that, and now that I'm
sounds like you
Jewish.
Need someone to help you find your Christmas spirit.
I don't. I don't want that to happen to me. I want those people to step the fuck away from my path.
All the ghosts. Get these fucking ghosts away from me.
the Ghost of Christmas Past would be a real short story with me. I'd be like, get the fuck out of my house, bitch. But back to Star Trek. So your dad is a sci-fi nerd.
Yeah.
Did this come from his like childhood or... How did you all end up in Kansas?
Yeah, they moved to Kansas because my uncle, who was also my father's sister's husband, was a more industrious guy. He moved to Kansas to start a business, an appliance business.
He's from Israel as well.
He is from Iran.
Okay.
Who was Jewish. He was Jewish in Iran, and then he moved here. He is the most serious guy in the world.
Okay.
Only I have figured out how to make him laugh.
What did you do?
I started making fun of him, which nobody ever did. Everybody was so intimidated by him, and so I would just make fun of him to his face, and he liked that.
Amazing.
But he's also like...
There's always a code to crack with those people.
Yeah. He was a tough dude. He had to grow up, I guess, in pretty rough conditions in Iran, being Jewish. And so he made it out to Israel. But basically, he decided to open a business, an appliance repair business. And then my dad, for no reason, decided to do the exact same thing, but with his own business.
He's so serious that your dad was, like, weirdly compelled to, like, follow him?
Yeah, my dad's competitive, but then when he starts getting in the competition, he's not great at it, so then he just kind of gives up.
So kind of just, like, a follower?
Yeah, he's just like, that looks good. I wish I was that rich. Because my uncle got really rich out of it.
Is he still alive?
He's alive and very wealthy.
Nice. Did you say hi to him?
Screw it. See, that's what he likes.
So those are your cousins.
My cousins, who you've met.
We've met.
Like, we did ecstasy with.
Wow.
Their Eyes Wide Shut parties that they would have.
Yeah, in their mansion in the Franklin Hills.
Finally moved, pretty harsh conditions, made it to Kansas, built an industry. He's now rich.
Is this slam poetry?
His kids did ecstasy with you guys. Yeah. That's how it always goes by. Like,
yeah.
So your dad liked sci-fi when? When did he like sci-fi?
Can I play this clip? I don't know why we're...
I'm trying to find out when... I'm going back to sci-fi right now.
I can wrap this up in one second.
Okay.
I have no idea when my dad started liking sci-fi, but I remember when I started liking it was when...
We're back.
The bonding between me and my dad was limited to what he was watching on TV. He liked to sit around and not talk that much, and I'm fine with that. So he would just sit... smoke like 7 or 8 cigarettes every night, and we would go through every sci-fi show on that he had taped.
That's
and
pretty
we would
cool.
Watch X-Files. I mean, I said them all, but TNG was the biggest one.
Really?
For him.
For him. And for me.
And he's still like sci-fi.
He loves all that stuff. He'll watch any new crazy sci-fi. My dad is...
Is he watching Discovery?
No.
You should get him a CBS.
I haven't even watched Discovery. I believe that the canon ended with the last episode of TNG.
Wow.
I realize that there are Deep Space Nine fans out there, and I respect...
There are. I am one of them. I really like DS9.
It's cool. Cisco's cool. Odo's cool.
It did take a second, and there's a little bit of parallel universe insanity there, but hey.
It's like...
It's great. It's great.
It's a different show. Yeah. It's not a play.
So your bold opinion... Mm.
Yeah.
You boldly go where a lot of people has gone. Because a lot of people think TNG ended right there.
I also don't like the original Star Trek. Blech.
Oh, God, we're rewatching that. It's so shitty.
Yeah, it's the worst.
I've never watched
it. It's the actual worst show I've ever seen.
It was cool in 1966.
All the episodes are like, you're a little girl and I'm the captain.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a dick.
He's the worst.
Yeah.
And he gets angry all the time for no reason.
Spock is great, but then you've got Data, which is a better Spock, and he seems to just be, you know, every character on Star Trek TNG could easily replace everybody on the original Star Trek.
Least and most favorite? Least and most.
What is your favorite character?
On TNG?
Yeah.
Well, Data's my favorite character.
Woohoo! You're with Alice.
But I have to say that it's the Data that doesn't... Like, when Brent Spiner... Like, in this episode, actually, when Brent Spiner, the actor, decides that he hasn't gotten enough... gotten to display his range enough, and then he gets to be, like,
Occasionally, he's, like, into this range thing.
He gets to be, like, a cool Data in one episode, or he gets to be, like, a crazy Data sometimes. Those episodes suck, and they ruin Data. Like, there's one in the last season called Masks, where he plays, like, seven different characters.
Yeah.
And it's, like, clearly his contract was up or something.
Yeah.
Had to negotiate something. But, like... Android Data is
so good,
compelling, and he can beat up everybody. He beats up Worf. He can beat up anybody. He's out. He can outsmart everyone.
Extremely mask.
Yeah.
Extremely like sexy, like masculine stereotype. Like I don't know. It's weird. Like that
like
super
when
strength.
He's talking
is so,
to
like,
people in the first season about his abilities, and they're trying to understand him all the time. And he's like, he'll say these things like, "Oh, I am better than you."
Yeah, he's so matter of fact.
Like, because I am.
It is
like, just no a fact. One, I'm a robot and you're a person.
He thought I was bragging. Why? Because I said I was better because than him, but I am.
And it's
like, oh, yeah, you are.
But then he gives that look and you're just like, you know what, man? You're right. You're cool. Whatever. He gives that like quizzical, like, I didn't realize
he's past
I was offending
that human
anyone.
Ego thing, which is what I do with my friends. And they're like, oh, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I did just say that to your face.
Yeah, you do.
And I hope you can deal with it.
Wow.
Data is what everybody... Data is what everybody in LA wants to be with all the meditating and like, you know, self-actualization.
What do you mean? I want to hear more.
Yeah.
Because everybody's trying to do like, I mean, and I get it. Everybody's trying to figure out how to get past the ego and be like a perfectly centered person. Mm-hmm. That's Data.
That's
Data, baby.
Yeah.
And he's that.
He's managed it without having to.
It would be cool if you were like also superhuman. So you'd be
passing your
humanity. Yeah, of course. You would have more, I would have a lot more confidence.
I feel like argue though
everyone.
That Data is not as doesn't accept his circumstances because he's so curious. I guess he is super Buddhist because he's so curious.
Yeah, but he does envy
the
humans.
Jews are super curious too.
That's true. Yeah, to tie it back into Judaism, okay. Data's very Jewish.
No, I know, but like the idea of self-actualization being like approach life with non-judgmental curiosity.
Yeah, I like that.
So let's listen to this clip because I have
you're
pulled
dying
it up an
to
hour
you're
ago.
Dying to show this clip.
This is just Pulaski
the fun
in the bridge.
In the program, Data was in the attempt to solve.
This is
kind of
skipping a few bits. Okay,
is that not exactly what we were doing?
You're wasting your breath, Lieutenant. Saying that to Data is asking a computer not to compute.
I love that she's looking away with
so
a drink.
From you.
She's
sorry.
Like,
so
this is in the
sorry
bar.
To eavesdrop. But,
in the bar.
I was just
after they've gone
drink.
On the holodeck, Data and Geordi, and Geordi storms out in a huff because he's so mad at Data for solving the mystery. Really,
let
very
me say,
weird.
Let me say something about this bromance before. Like,
yeah. Oh, this is such a good bromance.
It's such a good like. Geordi's like, Data's like, you call me urgently. Why? Because, okay, so Geordi calls Data. They look at a ship that he made for another captain of a ship with the same name. And it's amazing. And then eventually, like, finally they talk about this boat that Geordi's presenting to this other captain. And then Data's like, why did you call me urgently? And Geordi's like, to play your game.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to treat you to a little Sherlock fun. You've been nagging me about it for weeks.
I wanted to treat you to this thing that you love. I'll be Watson. I'll write down things. And it's. I was like,
it's so adorable.
It's so cute.
And then
and
just
like, it
flips
is only
him
fair.
Off the second he's not having fun, too. He but just like bolts like, out of the
but
room.
That's why I wanted to say he bolts out of the room. Just to call Data out on like his bullshit, which
fuck
I love.
You, Data.
It's like a whole thing.
You knew the answer. Why is
it's
it
like
so
whole
mean?
Thing seems it's orchestrated
cute
to, for him.
Friendship.
To... Enough. I'm done.
And he gets
why?
He leaves And it's like, so, whoa.
So they're in 10 forward and they're trying to...
I love how emotional he is.
And he's trying to explain to Data what the problem is. And he's like, I'm not mad at you really, Data. It's just that we went through all this trouble to find the time to go to the holodeck and dress in costumes.
I love it.
And then now, and then you just solve the problem without even... Because you have it all memorized.
He got mad because he wanted to play.
By the way, I have a theory about this that I was thinking. So there are... 4 holodecks on... Uh-huh. Okay, so there are like a very limited amount of holodecks. There's mm-hmm. about 1,200.
Yeah, they're usually like rented. It's so weird. That's the deal. You have to yeah. sign up months in advance.
So of course Geordi's pissed off. I mean,
makes sense.
He's just like, I rented this thing months in advance. We finally got the time that I could be off shift for
a little bit.
It's like
an escape room. And then you go to the escape room and you find out the person you got to the escape room with is like, I did this 1 week ago. Yeah, I'll just stop right away.
Yeah, and then you're like screw you.
I would storm out and be like, this is hard to like make reservations. It's true. It's like what he was going through. Absolutely. And I love that they're 10 forward dressed like this.
They just go right to 10 forward dressed like that. And then Pulaski's drinking alone.
And I love that they don't start talking.
She sucks.
As always. She's a Polak.
And nobody wants to.
Is that offensive?
I think it might be.
I don't know. We're Jewish. We can get away with
it. You don't get me in your packages.
Alice, how dare you laugh at that? You're not Jewish.
Guys. I'm stone-faced.
So Geordi doesn't talk to Data about what's going on until they've been sitting there for a while. They already have drinks.
Easily, he could have said it when they were still in the holiday.
Like, we're not playing the game. Yeah. But that's what I like about Star Trek is that things take their time mm-hmm. in their place.
Yeah.
So let's play that. The rest. So she's drinking alone.
With you, Data, really. It's just that we go through all the trouble to arrange the time to go down to the holodeck, to get the proper wardrobe, to get into character, and then boom! Before we even get started, you jump to the end. You see,
it's hard.
I was looking forward to the mystery.
I love that. I love it.
Then I should have extended the sequence of events.
That's a Unicolo jacket.
Oh, I'm not getting through.
The fun in the program, Data, was in the attempt to solve a mystery.
Is that not
exactly what we were doing?
You're wasting your breath, Lieutenant.
You
say that to Data's asshole.
I actually like her. I've been liking her.
Half in the bag. Yeah.
Am I so different from you, Doctor?
Because she has a point.
You're right.
They're still trying to prove whether Data can actually do this.
In medicine, I'm often faced with puzzles that I do not know the answer to.
And that's why I drink.
She's right, Data. You always know the answer.
To feel the thrill of victory, there has to be the possibility of failure. And where's the victory in winning a battle you can't possibly lose?
I like her.
Are you suggesting
there
is some value in losing?
Yes.
I mean, I find Crusher more attractive.
Yeah, she's so...
We humans learn more often from a failure or a mistake than we do from an easy success. But not you. You learn by rote. To you, all is memorization and recitation.
Well, I don't know about all that. Deductive reasoning is one of Data's strengths.
Yeah.
Yes. And Holmes, too.
His face.
But Holmes understood the human soul, the dark flecks that drive us.
And you don't, you robot.
Turn innocent.
I do like that. Like, that
you're a fucking toaster.
How could it? But pause it 1 second.
Now
how could Data know that? How could Data know, like, if part of deduction about a mystery of human stuff, like, there, Sherlock Holmes is like the past. So there's none of that technology. There's no, like, too much chemistry or science to actually figure out. And so, like, there's a lot of, like, human intent, soul, like what would make me do this? What would be my plan if I was in this? Like, there's a lot of like humanity to those like mysteries.
Ego.
Yeah.
And ego. Humanity, like thought, like emotional impulses. So Data has barely any understanding of that, like empirically. So she's kind of does have a point of like, how can he really play this game?
Yeah.
And that's why it's good in this episode that she's a part of it, because her robot racism does have a use.
It's the one time robot racism has utility and a function.
A function.
So it's time for a break, but I want to talk about Moriarty and the entire like machinery.
The entire episode.
Yeah. The entire rest of the episode. Okay. And a little bit more about your parents.
Yeah, sure.
No,
sure.
I will kill you.
So let's get back to this bromance. This is a little bit, I am fascinated by the fact that by Geordi like commanding the holodeck program to like match Data,
mm-hmm.
suddenly
he broke
a bunch of overrides happened and Moriarty maybe became a consciousness.
Yeah. I have a question about that, too.
I'll have answers.
Is the computer smarter than Data? Mm-hmm. Must be, right? If the computer can create a consciousness.
Or is it dumber than Data? Because wouldn't, if it was smart, wouldn't it warn people? Like, okay, I'm about to create something that you is unstoppable.
Well, I think the computer doesn't have free will. But beyond not having the free will to disobey a command from an officer.
It might have more, like, knowledge than Data, but it's not more intelligent.
Or more computing power.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not sentient.
Yeah,
it might have more power in a way, or like a technical way, but not necessarily have that.
But it can create. It can create enough intelligence to combat Data's intelligence. Like
now, if my iPhone warns me, "You're about to buy this," buy like confirm. Like I think it could have been like, "You're about to be able to kill people," like a holodeck. Yeah.
All the overrides are going to be in play. Buy,
buy, and you can be like fingerprint.
Well, the computer could ruin a lot of episodes of this show, but it's,
yeah, that's true.
It could just come
by
in
confirming
and,
a command.
It could just be like, "Do you want to do that?" And then they're like, "You know what? No." And then this whole anomaly thing doesn't happen, and then there's no.
You're like, "Oh, I'm going to sign up for this thing," and then it says, "Oh, you actually have to buy things to make it work," and you're like, "Yeah, I'm just going to delete this app."
See, I think the computer,
I don't know.
The computer, I think, is aware. And it's so aware that it's on a TV show. It knows that it's on a TV show and has to keep the storyline.
The computer is Moriarty in a way.
Yeah.
So like the computer prints out like the Star Trek, it's like the Enterprise and then outside a TV show.
Right.
Like, is that the Moriarty drawing that he made, but a TV? Yeah.
It knows something that the Enterprise crew doesn't even know. They're on a TV show in space. They're not even really in space.
Everyone in the bridge is actually just like as dumb as any holodeck characters compared to Moriarty.
Dumber than us. Yeah. We're the smartest because we know everything.
Do we know where we're at?
And then J.J. Abrams. This would blow J.J. Abrams' mind, this conversation right now.
J.J., if you're listening to this, which
don't
we know you
turn
are.
Turn it off. And take a deep breath because you can't fucking handle it.
You can't do this, okay?
Piss me off so much about Westworld because Westworld was just like the whole conceit of Westworld
spoiler
is
alert.
That like, oh, what if we're AI? And it's like, yeah, everybody's already thought about that a million times. Yeah.
What if we're naked?
It's like, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
But
what
they're,
if
they're exploring
you thought that?
It.
Okay, how about an orgy? Here's an orgy.
At least they're exploring it. They're exploring those ideas.
Yeah,
they're
but
like
this show has already explored those ideas a million ways.
Okay.
With less male and female nudity.
Yes.
It's true. That's,
less slight kissing.
did you know
brushing
that
past each other erotically.
To get casted in HBO, any of the dramas, you actually have to send nipple headshots.
Nipple, the head
nipple.
Of your nipple?
If you're a woman, you have to send like headshots
the
of nipples your nipples.
Do you have to show dong?
Your nipples are like in cop outfits. They're like, they're just like, you know, like a standard blue background. Mm-hmm. Will it, you know, professional.
Really?
And then below name.
That's not true
name
because
height.
I was on
I
an
like
HBO
that.
Show. And
dramas, that. Dramas.
Dramas, dramas.
Yeah, because usually the HBO comedies are not showing them tits.
There are a lot of them that did. Yeah. I remember watching Dream On when I was a kid, and that was the first my first
Sex
experience with nudity.
Oh, but did Silicon Valley ever show some tits?
They tried. Oh, how they tried.
They did?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think there was like they floated a line about it.
I feel like
Veep doesn't.
It doesn't.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. Not. I feel like they were like comedy, no tits. Drama, all the tits.
That's different than the 80s.
I think Ballers, they show tits.
Yeah, let's agree.
And balls, perhaps?
But that sounds, it's like a dramedy, isn't it?
No.
Or is it a comedy?
I don't think
it's a straight comedy. Yeah.
Cordry's in it.
Who watches that? So. Who do you think watches
it? I think more people audition for it than actually watch it.
I swear I saw an audition for it. Did you? Were you there?
Yeah.
It's like Ballers audition, and I was like, wow. Who are these actors?
I think your agents probably watch it. I think guys probably.
It's about them.
Or female.
Are you just going to straight up read this book now?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Ever-Living Ones. It was a time of primal chaos.
Could we just do the episode?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're here.
Okay.
Alice thinks that because I'm doing other things and my brain is somewhere else, I'm not paying attention.
You're not present. I'm glad you said that aloud.
How sexy was it when Moriarty was like, and she's like, "I'll be an old lady then." And he's like, "And I'll fill you with crumpets."
That was sexual.
Yeah. I was like, "I don't want some old hot man to tell me he's going to fill me with crumpets." I don't know. It was kind of really hot.
That guy was the wisecracking butler on The Nanny.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Someone tweeted, someone really funny, I wish I could remember who, tweeted like, bring back The Nanny, but with Cardi B. And I was like,
that's amazing.
Yes.
That's such a good idea.
I know. I know.
Oh my God.
And she got haters. Genius. And she's like, if you hate this, you're a hate. You're like, you have problems.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I love how, okay.
Tell me from the beginning exactly what happened.
I like that.
Right, now they
well, Dr. Pulaski and I had a discussion about whether Data could solve an original Holmes-type mystery.
Let me guess. Pulaski was like, no.
Which you computer to provide.
Yes, with a worthy opponent.
Worthy of Holmes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I asked for a Holmes-type mystery with an opponent capable of defeating Data.
His lip gloss game is it. Tight mm-hmm. this episode.
Shimmer.
Jordy's a beautiful man.
Yeah, he really is.
I mean, no Riker.
He's better than Riker.
No Worf.
Captain, I'm sorry.
I understand, Lieutenant.
Not even mad. Not even Captain. Mad for a second. A little bit of a sigh.
Moriarty.
Why would he?
Because they fucked up his arch. Vacation time. He like had a couple days to rest. So and it's like, oh, another bullshit thing happened?
He has access to the computer.
But and he gets perhaps to wear our a top library files as well, over. Sir.
That level of information would be necessary in order to create
I'm
a
sure
true
Patrick
adversary
Stewart
for
enjoyed
me.
That.
Oh, I was like, I was seeing him with a top hat, and I was like, Patrick Stewart must be extremely happy.
He's still a fictional character, sir. Originally programmed with 19th century knowledge, which now has access to 24th century knowledge. What does he need to make use of that?
Only time, sir.
Sir, I can lead a security team to sweep the holodeck, find the doctor, and bring her out.
Let's go
beat someone up.
I believe that would place the doctor at risk. It is probable our mortality failsafe has been overridden.
Judah,
where is Dr. Pulaski?
Dr. Pulaski is on holodeck 2.
And her vital signs?
Strong and stable.
Captain, recommend we attempt to destroy the hologram generations themselves. Is that possible, Jordy?
Using waveguides, I could spit a particle beam out of the matter-antimatter chamber and run it down through existing conduit into the holodeck. If accelerated to sufficient velocity, that would quite literally wash away all present holographic constructs. The London buildings, the streets, the people, all gone, including Moriarty.
Dr. Pulaski?
Mm. Well, a particle beam will tear apart human flesh as
well. Well, then it's probably not a good idea.
Captain.
One line.
I'm sensing something from the holodeck. It's as if a unifying force or a single consciousness is trying to bring it all into focus.
Can we pause right there? I mean,
what was with her lipstick? Is that what we're about to
that's
talk
a one line she has.
That's
it's like
one line.
Captain, I'm feeling something from the holodeck. It's exactly everything everyone's saying right now, but I'm just saying it now. That's my line. See ya.
Thanks.
So, see ya. Oh yeah, there's a force in the holodeck focusing. Yeah,
a couple weeks ago I gave birth to a full human person that grew into a kid within 2 days.
And today I'm still quiet and I only repeat what people say cuz I'm still traumatized.
So go easy on me.
Goes on,
but also don't ask me.
I'd like to defend Troy cuz they write so poorly for her. So like this is clearly an example of like she always states the obvious and it's cuz they have to give every main cast
yes.
A line?
They gave Crusher one early on, too. Little Wesley Crusher. Mm-hmm. How is he on the... Is he just fine with his mom not being on board?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went through it.
All right, well...
Two episodes ago.
It was a Guinan decision.
Yeah, Guinan helped him make the decision to stay.
I see.
It was great.
Well, Guinan is good for that.
One explanation. In programming Moriarty to defeat me, not Holmes, he had to be able to acquire something which I possess.
What exactly?
My swagger.
Consciousness, sir. Without it, he could not defeat me.
So the computer can give someone consciousness.
That's pretty amazing.
It's like a mother.
Computer, what happened?
Attitude and stabilization.
That's
great.
Then the computer could just do that all the time.
Voluntarily transferred to holodeck 2.
You could just put consciousness into data, into a robot, in any robot.
Into a holographic image.
That's a huge problem.
I think it best that you and I should return to the holodeck.
It does seem
I will change into my uniform, sir.
No. I will change into some appropriate costume. Our uniforms might pose questions which
the producers are like,
ask. It seems he feeds on knowledge, but let's not give
producers
your
are like,
nemesis any
wait,
more
wait,
information
that's not...
than we have to.
Also, like, we have to
how
be in costume, but Worf can just walk around.
I'm not sure.
Worf
nobody
is
cares.
In costume.
Yeah, he is, but he's also a Worf. He's a Klingon.
I know, but Data's a Data.
Lumps, Professor.
That's true, yeah. Nobody questions that.
No. The one time somebody says something about it in the holodeck, they say he's from South America.
No, of course.
It's like the Coneheads.
Why not?
Mr. Computer proposes the incredible
thought. So this guy's sexy? I'm just
curious. That we are all traveling in a great vessel of some sort.
Okay.
All right, well.
You said he was?
Asked and answered.
I just like that crumpets comment.
So just a comment.
The scones are likewise a must.
I found that sexy. No?
I'll fill you this with crumpets. Yeah.
Really quite it. Excellent.
Yeah, I like that.
Strange.
Women's sexuality.
I think crumpets
are expensive.
I think their relationship is sexy. It's sexily intellectual. It's like sexily
respectful.
You're
beginning to sound very different from the Moriarty.
Yeah,
incredible.
He is. He's not a
You're not
a
frightened
villain.
Of me?
He just wants out.
No.
He is, though. When he comes back.
He should be.
He does get out.
He and does. He's like an yeah. actual threat.
Mr. Computer,
and he has a girlfriend that he wants to get out with him. That's the whole episode.
Traitor.
And then they trick him.
Yeah, they send him into
Pulaski looks good in
They send him
Victorian
into another
clothes.
Program where he thinks he's exploring space
Mr.
with
Computer.
Him.
It's true. He thinks he's in a shuttle.
Yeah.
And
it's great.
Think about how much memory that takes
last
up.
Command.
All day,
oh, right? Well. And does that take up an entire holodeck? So people are like, sorry, yeah. You can't use that holodeck.
Hey, we have to close down holodeck 2 now.
Forever.
That's sorry, at least one crew. Hard drive being used.
In the meantime, I have decided to approach the problem from
what
a more
happens
familiar
if you,
perspective.
If you
There's really
poop
no
in the
reason
holodeck.
Why I shouldn't
go to
be
able
to use some of the knowledge.
Does it
then
just
everything roll? Disappears and it's that yellow grid and the poop.
Yeah, Jim,
and it
right?
It points a big arrow at you.
Yeah.
And you with your credit score.
And you have to clean it up?
There's a point system. For poops. It's
Your
happened so much that they created a point system.
Good.
I thought that
and if you know
there's
what
a
I'm
holodeck
saying,
janitor,
what I'm
right?
what you
there are janitors, right?
There's got to be a janitor. Well, maybe the computer.
I think it's
a
That's
Roomba.
What we were talking about before. Every time. We were talking yeah. about that before. Every time Riker goes into the holodeck and the janitors come in, they're like, oh, Riker was in here.
Yeah.
He's like, come
get the black light.
Yep.
You were classier than me. I said come saints immediately.
I don't know if you can say come on this podcast.
You can say whatever you want. Whatever you want.
Be it come or fuck.
Be
or
it
cunt.
Shit or whole or but
actually this is probably what? I feel like a lot in a row is bad. Like somebody's gonna be like, ah!
Let's
like
try to say
in a song.
Boss. Let's try to say as many as possible, no. as fast as possible.
Okay.
All together.
All right.
Okay.
Great.
One. Two.
Wait, is it each of us in
all
succession?
Of us together.
So we have to pick the same one?
Wait.
No, we're going to try to say as many terrible
just
things
piled
to
on
say
top of each other.
Okay. Okay, so guys, if you're sensitive to this, don't go on fucking iTunes and give us 2 stars reviews.
Well, why are we doing it?
Skip
we can also just not do
skip
it.
Skip it 30 seconds.
Sounds
okay,
like it's
wait.
On its way
sounds
now.
Like it's happening.
Okay.
Okay.
One, two, three. Come shit, pussy, butthole, vomit in the
I couldn't
butt,
say
bastard,
vagina,
bastard
pus, vagina,
darn
pus.
It,
infection the of
vaginal
our penis,
lint.
Discharge,
oops,
this, yellow discharge,
poops,
lick,
vaginal
pus, pus toad,
cunt liquor,
foreskin,
that's
toad,
a good one,
pus
peel,
toad.
Dead foreskin that
dick,
peels off,
dick wart,
ew,
dick's face.
You're so much better at this. Dick's wow. face.
Dick's face. Dick's face.
Dick's face. A dick's face.
I love a dick's face. There's so many dick's faces.
Sounds like a... I love a dick's face when I see it in the morning.
Morning.
And I love a dick's face.
Face.
When I see it at night.
Night. I'm your three girls. Oh, my God.
That was great.
That was amazing. Look,
see,
the
Alice didn't
roof.
Want to do it.
It's true.
You didn't want to do it.
I wanted to see.
I'm glad you trusted this, Alice. Trust it. Sometimes you got to just... I trust you so much. Sometimes you're like pressing buttons and moving levers.
It's
and
true.
I'm like, what is happening?
It's true.
And then you come up with some skit.
This episode also, these episodes are very steampunk, I feel like.
They sure are. That's
I know. They look like Highland Park Bowl.
He's pulling a lever and it's making the Enterprise
Google
shake.
That, guys. You should check it out.
Here's
Short hair Worf is so ugly.
Nice suit.
Yeah, Worf needs some much more.
He needs a mane.
I will be standing by to assist you if needed.
Nerdic. But I'm never needed.
But the new Klingons are bold.
The program still
oh,
running?
Really? Yeah, on,
the new
look,
Klingons are lit.
I need to watch.
Cool.
I guess
they
I'll
look
watch
great.
It. I just
click.
It's
he
not
made it to go back. Let's see it again. I know it's visual, but I just want to hear it click.
Open.
On Netflix, it's exactly.
Alice, I gave you the key.
Is the program
okay,
still running?
It.
Affirmative. You may.
What's the time code?
Let's hear that click.
Data, Shall we go?
Ugh.
Boom.
Data was surprised by it.
That was a magical trick. See, in this photo, in this frame of him just about to enter the holodeck with his top hat, I was like, oh, Patrick.
Oh,
Sir Patrick. Instead of like Captain.
Let's see if we can't beat Professor Moriarty by giving him everything he wants.
He looks so handsome.
He does. He looks so hot.
And what's up with people?
I don't understand what's up with people. Is it like because they have a neon light?
They're walking like in Coco.
I don't understand that.
The muertos.
Weren't we supposed to talk about worst and or favorite and least favorite characters?
What's your least favorite?
It's Leia. Wesley, obviously.
What?
Yeah, Wesley's the
worst. What do you mean, obviously?
I thought everybody thought Wesley was the worst.
What about Alexander? Wesley,
oh, well, if he's a character, I thought main cast. Of course
Alexander's
the worst.
Alice. Come on. You can't hate on him.
Any moment that Alexander is on screen, I always fast forward through.
Alexander, no honor.
First off, it's a Worf-heavy episode if it's got Alexander in it. Already bad.
That's already too heavy.
I like Worf like Klingon tradition episodes, but not with Alexander.
No.
Yeah, that paternity part.
I love Wesley. I think Wesley's the best.
That's just
Wesley's
crazy.
Always solving all the problems and never getting any credit for
Wesley's
them.
Wesley's a little bitch.
No, he's not.
He just is.
He's not. He's a prodigy that never gets any credit.
Yeah. Everybody's smarter than Wesley.
No.
You know what?
What's
There's
your
one...
second least favorite?
Second least
we don't,
favorite?
We don't accept your answer.
Second?
Accept.
Well, Worf is the second least favorite. Worf is...
I agree.
Have you seen the compilation of Worf getting turned down 100 yes. times?
I know.
It's so funny.
He's too dumb for this.
And there's another compilation of every time he's tried to fight and gotten his ass kicked, which is every time. He's never beaten anybody up, and he's head of security.
I'm sure that's got to be some white guy's fault.
Yeah, he's not even the strongest guy on the ship.
It's got to be some like white guy writer fault.
That's true.
It's got to be someone
yeah,
else.
It's like they have these characters, and they don't write for them.
It's got to be.
Least favorite is not Troy.
No, I like Troy.
Weird.
Troy's up there.
Wow, Troy Alice, you were really prompting that. I can't believe you.
Yeah, I know. That's
treasonous.
That's just girls hating on girls, and that's
treasonous
should be unacceptable.
Backstabbing Alice. I'm like defending Troy every episode. It's my one mission.
No,
and,
I was
and
just,
her and her mom.
It's my mission statement with this podcast, and you're like
great.
And he's like Wesley, and then Worf, and you're like, are you sure it doesn't start with a T and rhymes with Roy?
Come on.
Whatever.
I know actresses are competitive. But.
Shut up. I feel such competition with Troy.
She's still out there.
Today, in
she
my
is.
120 pounds life.
Really?
She's amazing.
I bet. They're all cool.
Alice has
They're
been feeling so jealous cool. lately about Troy.
Let's see how much she weighs now.
No.
I love the thought that this is exactly us trying to figure out the machinery of like the computer mm-hmm. giving life to something mm-hmm. is
yep.
what I love. Like
yeah.
what does life mean? How can you create it? Does it actually exist? Is Moriarty something that could potentially be alive? Like the ugly sacks of meat?
By the way, there's also another completely different holodeck episode where the computer creates a life form.
Mm-hmm.
A Fistful of Data's is all about the computer trying to put, or maybe it's not Fistful of Data. It's one of them where they have to go to Vertiform City the whole time, and then it turns out that it's just the computer trying to figure out how to make this like weird like pipe looking image thing. And then then at the end they just shoot it off into space and let it go be whatever it wants to be.
They're like, oh, you're
That's
alive?
Right.
Let me just shoot you into space. We don't have to
That's,
deal with
it.
This.
It wants to go
That's
to
all
space.
All it was, yeah.
Fuck. That this also I know you're not a DS9 person, so you never watched it.
I've watched it, yeah.
I like the Cisco back on Earth like holodeck episodes too.
Oh, like
the,
when they
the
when
weird
the
futuristic.
Leagues?
Yeah, the futuristic, it's like yeah, like past our time, they mm-hmm. did holodeck episodes where like Earth is in like the second medieval time or like the second chaos, like a third world war or something.
That
I
is
love
cool.
that. I love the all those like.
Well, the original Star Trek, the pilot episode.
Oh my god, a piece of card.
What?
Piece of card.
No, not original series. I was gonna say the TNG first. First
oh, that's
episode.
The original series actually.
The first episode of TNG where they go to the court. Like,
yeah.
Q
oh,
takes
yeah,
them
yeah.
to the court where the, all
point.
The jury is from.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the medieval
the
court.
The third, like, the Third World War. And they have the people with the parasols with no
Yeah.
No fabric on them.
Some of them are mutants and stuff.
Yes.
Some of them are midgets for some reason.
That's is, little it, people. Is yeah. that what it looks like on DS9?
No, it looks more like this. Oh. It looks like this holodeck episode, but supposedly it's the future.
But it looks all old.
It looks like a studio set kind of fake city.
Weird.
I know. It's interesting. Cisco is like a future. I don't know.
It was just a different vibe.
They should have filmed it in Burbank.
It was an interesting future.
Yeah.
That was not like the Star Trek future.
It was about war and stuff. This is about like exploration and anomalies.
Of ideas.
And stuff. Yeah.
Anomalies. Yeah. I like that word.
A lot of anomalies.
I like exploring anomalies.
What is your dad's favorite? That sounds
like probably Troy.
Yeah, right.
Because he's such a simple man. He would just be like, I just find her to have big boobs.
We had Bjorn on this show from my show, and he was like, I saw her and I wanted to see more.
Yeah, foreign guys really like Troy.
any other thoughts?
I like this. I like this episode. I know maybe it's not a fan favorite. But I like that. You know what I like about this? That it stuck in my mind. There's so much of season two that I entirely forgot because I was inconsequential to my life. However, I remember at the time I was watching it for the first time, I was like so fascinated by the show entirely.
Me too. Yeah. The first time I saw this episode when I was a kid, I remember being like blown away by like, they get to walk inside the hot thing.
But I was an adult when I first watched this, and I can recollect very little of the second season, but I do remember thinking, because it has such a payoff, I don't know how many seasons later.
Yeah.
Six, or, well, it's season six, so four
seasons.
See,
like, crazy. So much goes, like, happens, like, Picard gets, like, literally mentally kidnapped in several episodes, like, there's so much.
Yeah.
And
he has open heart surgery.
Oh my god, yes. He lives a full life, like, it's crazy. And then we come back to Moriarty.
And he's been waiting
the
whole time.
He promised this thing.
He's apparently,
such
they
a good
say,
payoff.
Right in the beginning of that other episode, that Moriarty's, they're like, when he comes back, they're like, we're concerned that you were able to experience the passage of time while you were in here. And he's like, yeah, I mean, it's been 4 years or whatever, and this really sucks. And I mean, that was like not supposed to be the case.
Because this is what I wonder, like, as soon as Moriarty disappears, I'm like,
where does he go?
Where has he gone?
Yeah.
Where is he?
He's just sitting around, like, waiting for stuff to happen. He's in his...
He's in a void.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that Dark Matter episode. I know, what's this Black Mirror episode, Star Trek, where like they're just waiting around while he's not playing, or whatever. If you watch it, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, all the Black Mirrors in the latest season.
But so
are
he
all
created
about...
himself a girlfriend in that time somehow.
Well, a girlfriend was created for him, but it doesn't make it clear whether it was before or after.
Well, he had to have this time to bond with her.
Yeah, I guess they maybe like somebody got back to him and was like, somebody was like, oh yeah, this guy's just trapped in here. Why don't we just throw him a woman?
Why don't we make a woman consciousness and then make her disappear into the nothingness he's waiting us at?
She's still a holodeck creation, but then I think that episode is about him fighting to get her to be conscious also.
She's still holodeck creation.
We should definitely have you back for that episode.
In 4 years.
In 4 years. No, we'll get there sooner.
She's a holodeck creation. Ooh. But she looks just like the real thing.
Oh, and she feels like the real thing when I touch her at night.
Alice gets into the singing characters. She makes hands. And faces.
When I touch her at night, and she's in my bed, and her hair's on the pillow next to me.
She closes her eyes and passionately sings, but on top she makes like hand motions.
It's like Celine Dion.
Yeah. She's like, she turns into
the singer in the world.
It's embarrassing and beautiful, both.
That's what I am. That's what I am to most people.
What does your boyfriend think? That too?
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear.
He's like, grabs your face.
I
like,
thought
tenderly,
my boyfriend was a Scientologist for a hot 2 days.
Why?
Because
he
really has this like very serious face that he makes when he can. I guess I'm kind of gullible also, but like he just. I was like, what? I was joking around with him one time, and I was like, what if you were a Scientologist? And then he just made this really stony face and like didn't change his expression. And I like couldn't look at him anymore. And I just started doing dishes. And then I got inside my head for like 3 days. And I was like at the point where I was almost going to ask friends, like mutual friends, because he's from LA and he grew up here. So I was like, it could
very well be.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I guess it spreads or whatever.
Is that a deal breaker?
Yeah, definitely.
Would it be a deal breaker for you?
Yeah. But, you know.
I mean, for sure.
It would be for me.
It's just, you're stupid.
It's so dumb.
You can't be that stupid.
Marry into slavery. I can't do that.
Yeah, you have to.
There's no iteration of Scientology that I'm aware of that where you aren't doing ridiculous, stupid shit.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. What would be another religious, like, no? I mean, besides sects and, well, I don't know.
What?
Any other religion that you'd be like, oh, no. Scientology. Yeah, is there any other weirdos like that?
Probably. Most. If I was somebody who's like devoutly Catholic, that'd probably be a problem.
Zoroastrian, like, I feel like. Gross.
I think the Rastafarian homophobia is a problem.
Druids?
When I was a kid and I found out that druids were real.
Yeah, they're real.
I was like, what are we doing to stop them?
They're just like Wiccans.
They're just out there. Isn't they're coming like, to get us for sure.
All of Outlander is based off of that, right?
That's a kind of a sci-fi show, right? Outlander.
It is. It's a fantasy more like. It's like time travel magic mix.
Right. Mm.
Which I appreciate. She has two husbands, one in the future and one in 300 years.
I'm listening.
In the past.
Yeah, it sounds.
It's pretty sexy.
It sounds like women would enjoy that.
But half the time, she's like, you're a fucking barbarian. And he's like, come here.
And then she's like, all right. But her other husband is a rich businessman, I bet.
Basically. He's like a highbrow intellectual from
Britain. You should have wrote this.
Getting everything that a woman could want. They got to fight each other. Obviously, they're going to fight each other at some point.
The other one's Scottish and has like, wear his kilts. And he's like, honor. Based like the houses of whatever, and the other one's a British man who like is into newspapers or whatever. He's like a scholar.
Newspapers.
Best of both worlds.
Is she like, I know it's time traveling.
If somebody was like religious, if somebody was like a big Bernie bro, that'd be a problem. Like using political stuff as like a religion. And if somebody was Mormon.
Mormon's not so bad.
Yeah, but Mormon can be bad.
It can be if they want to bring you into it.
Exactly.
I know Natalie's, a couple people who got out.
Yeah, you can get out of anything. You just have to win the war of who's yourself. Going to be the dominant religion in the relationship.
I was saying the person brings the religion into the relationship. This is not... Like, if any religion, it'd be like, this is what we're doing now. It'd be anything of that.
Then there's like 100 religions that I wouldn't want to live with. I mean, of course, there's just like so many things I would have to do. I mean, I don't want to be a lot of different... I don't want to be Jewish most of the time.
Except...
I choose Judaism. I choose it.
You choose it.
I chose it.
You do.
But
good luck.
Even if I'm like with someone who's any other religion, I don't care. I'm going to have a Jewish home. So that they can jump in or they can get out. That's basically.
Yeah. And to me, that is the least like problematic. Like I'd be like, if I was a guy, I'd be like, yeah, great.
Yeah, do that.
Who cares? That
you
sounds
say
great.
Your things.
You setting it up. Sounds good.
Do you have to go to synagogue though every Saturday?
No, I'll go. But they can do whatever.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Judaism is very passive. At least the stuff I've experienced.
Yeah, I like going to temple on Friday. I like doing Shabbat. I like eating kosher. I like chose those things. They can do whatever they want.
Shabbat is fun.
It is great. It's my one day of peace.
Nothing like bread dipped in salt water.
Peace. Yeah. Oh, yeah. When you put salt in that bread and
nothing
then you eat
like
it.
Nothing like for
that.
For a reason.
You eat it in salt water?
Nothing like that delicious Passover Seder meal where there's like a hard boiled egg and a celery and
then like a bone.
Some horseradish and a bone. All the tastiest things.
All the five or six tastiest one element thing.
And a piece of matzah. Put it all in a triple decker sandwich.
It is very interesting, I can't imagine how like growing up in it would have been like, what the fuck? Especially like a Seder, like where you have to wait so long to even eat, like before you even like taste anything, everything's like a ritual before anything. Wow. Yeah. Everyone's hungry and you're still like
and
saying
it's,
things.
And it's sundown in after daylight savings most of the time. So it's like 7:30 that you get started eating.
Mm-hmm.
Or later than that sometimes. It's just unreasonable.
That's the thing. Well, you got to kind of start early and make it fun. I didn't ever do water, salt water. I just like salt.
Well, that's just cheating. Salt.
Really?
No, I don't know. The salt water is meant to be the tears.
Okay, gotten off track again.
I'll give you my rabbi's email and you can.
Okay, perfect. I don't think that was solicited.
Sounds like one of the least fun things I could ever think of to do.
Hey guys, let's talk about whether we put salt with
tune
water.
Tune in next week for the second half of this episode, which is all about
The actual episode
going into Danny's father's lineage.
Wait, where did they marry? did they marry in Kansas or
what the fuck?
They married in Israel.
Israel. They married in Israel.
I'm a little bit. Wait, I'm a little bit annoyed that you're curtailing the podcast to be about this, but I'm also a little bit like, this is my friend, you know, like I have never asked him any of these questions.
I mean, that's never fine. Cared. I've never brought it up.
No,
I'm very interested. I mean, it's a Hispanic Jewish woman and like a man from Israel, and then ended up here with a white son. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Well, don't tell people I'm white. I need some help.
But you said no. You don't look white. As soon as you said Israel and Colombia, I was like, yeah, you do look both. But if you were just walking about, I'd be like, dude,
especially the way he walks about,
I wouldn't have a second
the
thought.
White swagger.
I wouldn't have a second thought about your race white or origin. Swagger. I wouldn't have any of like. Yeah. I wouldn't have a second thought about any kind of origin that's like different.
I think eventually I'm going to have to just write the one man show, I guess, and get it all out there.
What do you think the title is going to be?
Carne Amatza.
This is a fun thing.
Obviously,
you'll like.
He's trying to alter the programming here.
Carne Amatza, amazing.
Captain? Tuppence. Two pence. It's supposed to be good luck. And they need some.
Sure, yeah.
Well, I'll take that coin set. That's right.
Oh, this is where the laugh track comes in. Yeah. Data schools this beggar.
So. I want all that money. It's
I
right
want
there.
All that money.
I always think about these guys. I know that we have to leave and stuff, but I just like these guys who
I've ever seen.
Appeared in an
Could
episode of this and they're like, that was the highlight of my acting career. I was the rapscallion in the holodeck going after Picard getting his ass kicked by
Data.
Kids.
Data, let him go.
We will find Moriarty this way, sir. The warehouse.
We need to get a shorter laugh track so we can go.
It's so good.
Make it snippets.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for being here, Danny.
It was great.
It's a great episode.
Alice and Danny depart.
Depart.
That's it.
That's it. Okay. All right.
All right.
Thanks for being here, Vera.
Brett, thank you. Oh, thank you for being here, Alice.
That you're my tether.
Okay. You're my tether. That comes from Star Trek Discovery. You gotta watch it. Come on.
You gotta watch it. I don't know. Natalie will like it.
Come on, just watch
Natalie
it.
Natalie wants it. And, I'll be the judge.
Wait, what does she like?
She likes, my 600-pound life, obviously, which we've been alluding to this whole time. And then also she likes Real Housewives. But she does like good TV shows. She loves Black Mirror, so maybe I could transition
Everyone
her into Star
loves
Trek.
Black Mirror. Tell me something else.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
God. You know what? We just
Why
watched...
am I resentful? I'm not.
We just watched... she loves The Office. Mm. We watched The Office.
Oh, so
comforting.
Do you ever like force your sci-fi on her?
Yeah, but she'll go for it sometimes. Okay. She loves horror. She loves people getting murdered horribly.
Oh, you should watch Fortitude.
Okay.
On Amazon.
You'll have to text her and explain why she should watch it.
Really?
I am not convincing like when it comes to movies.
You think Star Trek... My entire line of questioning is, do you think she would like Star Trek Discovery?
I think she would.
Well, she's a lukewarm TNG fan. So.
Yeah, but she'd like it. There's a lot of ladies doing badass shit.
There's a lot of ladies. There's a lot of ladies. There's
are they getting murdered? Because she would really be into that.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right.
Pretty much.
All
right.
I have to go to the bathroom. So can we end
it? So I guess this is how we end the episode on Alice's bladder.
I had a lot of liquids.
All right. Alice's bladder.
Well, you
is
guys can
calling
continue
the, calling it,
but I think we've had it long enough.
No.
So, I think we did it. I think we did it.
I want to.
I'm
save
so
some
happy you were here.
Next time.
I'm so happy you're a Star Trek fan.
Always.
Because I missed that a little bit, and it's always
we do.
Cool. It's always cool to have someone that can like straight up talk about Data for so long.
And now, friend of the show, Danny Solomon. Great. You'll be back.
That's a big thing.
A hater of Wesley, so careful.
Yeah.
Careful out there. Careful with him.
We'll get him on our side eventually. Thanks a lot, you guys, for tuning in. See you. Oh, do you want to plug anything, Danny?
Yeah,
on your socials.
Yeah, at Danny Solomon, but with two N's, is Twitter.
We'll put you in the tweet when we do
that. Solomon, right, at the end of Solomon?
My album is coming out in a couple
Danny
months.
Danny, woohoo!
Yeah, so I'll have a comedy album for you guys to look at.
Oh, yeah, some of the hits. Listen to. No, that's go up one.
Danny! Danny!
Danny, over here, Danny!
Over here! Danny!
Yeah, you guys should definitely check this out because when I was coming up in comedy, I looked up to the greats, your Patton Oswalt's, your Paul F. Tompkins, your Amy Schumer's, and one Danny Solomon was very influential to me in my career, and he's one of the funniest comedians I know. So please check out this album, and thank you for tuning in.
Where can we check it out?
And
it's coming out on Rooftop Comedy. I believe the title will be Genius.
Nice.
Nah. I believe the title will be
Genius,
too.
Yeah.
Is that good?
All right.
Get it?
Bye,
guys.
I got it. I played it. I could do it. Okay.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.